The passage selected for the sermon is taken from the second reading, which was also the epistle for this morning. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're in Advent. Advent is the change of seasons that you can recognize because we've gone to wearing purple. It's the preparation season, not for Christmas, but for the second coming of Christ, for the apocalypse. And whether we are actually preparing for the final end of this world or the end of our particular world, preparing for end times is something that is really important for us. And we all will have to meet Jesus at the end of our world. And so we should make time to think about what that means, why we're here, and how we'll get there. Modern man's inclination is to try and reduce those prophecies about the final days and the apocalypse to allegory. But our nature doesn't really allow that, because when you try to suppress the mystical understanding of our being, when you try and take the prophecies that speak to our hearts and our spirit and make them only symbolic, then we create other mythology. And so that is part of the reason we have, as part of our culture right now, in our movies, in our science fiction, in our games, in our comic books, nothing but apocalyptic literature. Because we know that we're not meant to be here. We know that we're meant to be someplace else. And we know that the way there is through a cataclysmic event, whether it is our personal death or the end of the world. And so we know in our hearts that the scriptures that speak to this are right, and that they're not allegory and they're not symbolism. They are a call to our hearts to get us ready. And yet, we believe the epistle of this morning, as we anticipate either the end of the world in its entirety or the end of our particular worlds, what we should feel, what should come to us as we read, mark, and learn Scripture, is a feeling of hope, hopefulness. That's what sets us aside from the world. That as the world thinks of the apocalypse as the dawn of zombies chasing bikini models, we think of it as the hope of our everlasting life, the beginning of being together with the people we have loved, the way we want to love them, and the way we want to be loved by them in the light and love of Christ forever. And that is something for which we should be hopeful. So the challenge is, how do we read these scriptures that are very difficult and come to this sense of hope? Well, it takes some work. It's not easy. Our scriptures are not easy to read. Sorry. The Bible is a long book. It is written in the context of a culture that is long gone, and languages that no longer exist, at least in the form that they were at the time that the scriptures were written. We have different styles, a multiplicity of styles. You have epistle and gospel and prophecy and history and allegory and poetry. It's not a book that you can read as if it were a novel. It's not a linear kind of experience. And anybody that has made that promise, which we all make at one time in our lives, right? We're going to read the Bible. Sit down this year, we're going to read the Bible. And we get through Genesis pretty well, right? I understand all those stories, heard them, cruising right along. This is going to be easy. Get into Exodus, okay. Not so bad. Look how far we are. You know, this won't take us very long. And then you get to Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and we start to really wobble And in a very short time, we lose track of what it is that we're reading in the counting of the armies or the peoples or in the strange laws that, you know, affect the Jewish people. And we put the book down and we say, next year, I'm going to read the Bible. And it can't be read that way. I mean, it's not linear. It wasn't ever meant to be read that way. You understand the Old Testament only by reading the New Testament. Now, we do have this wonderful treasure map key that tells us how it is that we should be reading the Bible. And if you look right in front of you in those book holders, there's a red book that says Book of Common Prayer. And in the front of that book are the readings for every day of the year. And they're paired so that in every one of those readings, you have the Old Testament reading and the New Testament reading that enlightens us and helps our understanding of it. If we actually read the Bible the way that this book, and if you don't have one, take one with you. We have plenty. We'll replace the ones in the pews. But if you want to understand how to read the Bible, it's to read these passages together, to understand how the love that's reflected in the gospel informs what seems to be a very difficult and unforgiving God in the Old Testament. And we find that that's the same God, and he's loving in all times, if we can read this book the way that God has meant for us, the way that it's been delivered to us. But to do that, we have to be patient, and we have to know where to look. We have to be patient when we read Scripture, because we have to reread it again and again and again. Not just because it's not always easy to understand the first time we read it, but because it changes. Now, the words of the book don't change, right? I mean, the words of Scripture are the same today that they were 1800, 1900 years ago. And yet, we've all had that experience that we read a passage that we remember from when we were young or from 20 years ago, and all of a sudden, it means something entirely different. Now, the book of Job means something different to a parent who's lost a child than it does to someone who's afflicted with illness. And it means something different yet at that time in our lives when our friends don't believe us and we're being unjustly accused. The writings about eternity are really hard for us. I mean, eternity for a young person is the time between being told to go to bed on Christmas Eve and seeing what Santa Claus brought us on the next morning, right? That's forever. For us in middle age, the length of our mortgages and our credit card debt, that's eternity, right? When we get to the end of our lives, again, eternity is tomorrow. It's that time when we won't be here, but we'll be with the people that we've loved all our lives. And so we read and we reread the Scripture again and again and again because they inform the time of our lives and we understand them differently every time that we read them. Now, I like to use the analogy of a caterpillar climbing in a tree, right? And that caterpillar just knows it can fly. It knows it can fly. It was meant to fly. It was born to fly. Somewhere between those 100 legs are a pair of wings. And if he only had the manual, right, he would be able to get off that branch and get into the air. And of course, there is a manual for him. And when he goes into his cocoon, when he goes into his change, when he is transformed and emerges transcendent as a butterfly, his understanding all his life that he could have flown and was meant to fly is finally fulfilled. And that's the way we read Scripture. Knowing that we're not yet that person that we're meant to be, knowing that we're not the good people yet that God has created for us, knowing that we haven't yet fulfilled the love that we're meant to give, and yet understanding that's in us, that it is imminent, and that we are meant to fly. We are not meant to die and to go to the earth and crumble. We are meant to soar, to be in heaven, to live forever with the people that we love. We know that, just as surely as that caterpillar knows that it can fly. You have to be patient when we read Scripture, because we forget how to have a dialogue with authority in our time and our culture. You know, when we have a dialogue, it's the impatient tapping of your foot, our foot, while we're waiting for the other person to stop gibbering so that we can tell them what we know. We call that a dialogue, alternating monologues in which nobody listens to anybody. You can't have a dialogue with God through Scriptures that way, because He is the authority. It is His Word, and we get to read it, appreciate it, and appropriate it, but only in the context that He gives it to us. Now, when you read, we've all read a certain passage and had an epiphany, right? That for a minute, we understand the will of God and the nature of God and the nature of real love. But it's also those epiphanies that have led to every cult, right? I mean, where all cults start with reading the Revelation of St. John, okay? And then they go to some place where they allowed themselves to be ugly, cruel, murderous. No, we read Scripture with the understanding that God has authority, that we respond to Him the way Mary responded to the angel, "Thy will be done." And we submit ourselves to the authority of the church, that the way that the church has interpreted these Scriptures is the way in which we should understand and order our epiphanies, so that we don't step away from the will of God and the intention of His Scripture and find ourselves in some rabbit hole of self-justification. And then we have to digest. Part of that collect is that we have to digest Scripture. Every one of us, I mean, it's in the mother's handbook, right? Okay. After a big meal in the summertime, you have to wait 2 hours before you can go swimming. Or is it 3 hours? 1 hour. My mother was tough. But you have to let that food digest. You can't go swimming with a full belly, right? Can't. We have to digest Scripture the same way. When you digest food, what happens? Something that was outside that is good, nutritious, that changes our strength and our resilience is brought inside of us. It's broken down to become energy for us. And it also becomes our sustenance. It becomes our substance. The food that we eat becomes cells in us, becomes who we are. When we read Scripture and digest it, the same thing happens. It is broken down inside us. Becomes our energy to do the grace of the moment, but it also becomes part of our substance. That the nature of Christ becomes part of our nature the more that we read and absorb that Scripture, so that we don't see ourselves as products of the end of the world, but hopefully through the end of our world and into a world that is eternal and loving. And that's our challenge for the rest of this Advent, to read our Scripture, and to read our Scripture with patience, so that as we look to the end of the difficulties of this world, either collectively or personally, we know that we can have hope, and that that's what God means and wants for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.